To start the session, what I'd like to do is just a little soft landing so that we can release where we just were or where we think we might be and just be right here now together. So to that end, I'd like us all to find a comfortable seat if you're seating, if you're seated, if you're seated. Really feel your sit bones. Feel where your body's making contact with the chair. If you're standing, that's perfectly fine. Feel your feet on the floor. If you're comfortable closing your eyes, close your eyes. If that's not comfortable, a gentle downward gaze. We're going to take three delicious breaths together, in through our nose and out through our mouth. On this third one, sip in a little more air at the top and slowly exhale with a sigh. Now just do a little systematic relaxation, relaxing your forehead and releasing any tension in your jaws. Imagining a slight smile to the outside corners of your lips. Dropping that smile down into your chest, letting your shoulder blades melt down your back to keep your chest nice and open. Noticing the sensations in your chest, in your heart. Feeling yourself just calm down into the chair. If your feet are on the floor, dropping your awareness to the soles of your feet, softening your hands. Resting your attention on your breath just for a moment or two. Letting go whatever excitement or worry. Just finding yourself right here in this moment. And then when you're ready, gently opening your eyes and coming back to me, and we'll start our class. Hello, everybody. That was just a little quick mini, just so that we can all be on the same page. And what I want to talk to you about and teach you today is just a couple quick tips and tricks on how to calm down right now during all of the anxiety and uncertainty of COVID-19 land. So the first thing that I want to teach you is soothing touch. And it's going to be a Simon Says kind of activity. I'll explain the science behind it first so that you don't think it's kooky. Everything I teach is evidence-based. It's all science-based. So when we touch our bodies in locations with intention, we actually release endorphins and oxytocin. So when an infant mammal is crying and the parent mammal picks it up and says, oh, the soothing touch and the gentle vocalization release a cascade of feel-good hormones in the infant and in the parent. The amazing thing that science has shown is that we can do that for ourselves. We don't need a parent to do it, and we can be grown-ass people and do it for ourselves. So if you're feeling ever activated by something that you read on the news, or God forbid you're watching the news, which people have been like sucked into the vortex of doing, and no shame there, it's just really unhealthy if it activates you in a negative way. The quickest way for you to move back into your window of tolerance, which we'll talk about, is soothing touch. So we're going to do a Simon Says thing. Everybody can see me. First, put one hand on your chest. Feel the heat. Feel the feeling of your hand on your chest. Now put both hands on your chest. Put one hand on your belly. Now both hands on your belly. One hand cradling your face. Now both hands, like Shana, Shana, Punam. Hugging your arms, like you're giving yourself a hug, and actually do like a little squeeze so that you can really feel the pressure of you holding your own self. Then putting your palms down on your thighs and just doing like a rub. And then hand in hand, I'm doing it up high so you can see, but your hands are going to be in your lap. So this is soothing touch, and it's really miraculously simple that we can do this for ourselves when we're feeling activated. And it's a very instantaneous tip and trick if you can remember to do it. I like the hand in hand one because when we get back out into society, which is opening up now in many jurisdictions, if you're feeling activated, you want to have a less obvious soothing touch place. When I was first teaching this and learning this, my sisters would say, oh, don't tell her, she's going to put her hands on her chest. You know, you don't want people to think like, oh my God, she's either overly affected or overly dramatic, or thinks she's having a heart attack or something. So you want to have one that's kind of subtle. So this, the hand-in-hand one or the arms one is the one that I always recommend for being in the workplace. But if you're home watching the news or a friend is telling you a story that's really sad, or you're on Facebook and you read some of those missives from the front line, my go-to is hands on heart right away. The next thing that I want you to understand is that what you think changes your brain. So if you want to try to rewire your brain for happiness and resilience, which I wholeheartedly recommend, it's simple, but it takes practice. So how you do it is by noticing that you're having a positive mental state and letting it land. So that pushes it to a neural trait. So that's a beautiful sunset. What's for dinner? No, that's a beautiful sunset. Wow, look at those colors. Isn't that gorgeous? Okay, that's enough. You've just rewired your brain because neurons that fire together wire together, and that created a happy bridge in your brain, which counteracts the negativity bias that we have because we're primates. That's the work of many people, but the penultimate one in my mind is Rick Hansen, and he's a mentor of mine. He says that our brains are like Velcro for negativity, and positive things fall off like Teflon. Which is why when you get a review at work, and it's even if it's constructive criticism, you might get 8 accolades, and the one constructive criticism is the thing that gets under your skin that you can't let go of. So however many times during the day that you can notice you're having a positive mental state, don't waste it. Let it land, enrich it and absorb it, so that you rewire your brain for more happiness and resilience. And eventually, and I'm throwing a lot of science at you because we don't have a lot of time, but you can go on my website and get reams of information on all this stuff. Eventually, your default mode network, which is just your brain when you're not engaged in a task, which can be a pretty unhappy place, eventually your brain can be a happier place. Because you've been cultivating it and you've been watering good planting seeds of good, happy things and watering them, and you've been pruning out the bad ones because you're laying down happy bridges every day, a dozen times a day. So when I'm leading you in a meditation, which I'm about to do, you're going to get some good, juicy feelings. And just because you're following my voice and you're feeling these good, juicy feelings, I just want you to know that every time you listen to a guided meditation, you're rewiring your brain for more happiness and resilience, because you're allowing the positive mood, the positive mental state, to enrich and absorb. So it's pushing it to a neural trait. All right, so we're going to do a meditation now. And I'm going to invite soothing touch in this meditation. And I'm also happy for you to now understand that you're going to be making happy bridges in your brain. So everything that I teach, there's a background to it that's grounded in science. So none of it is cuckoo. None of it is new age. And it's all really healthy, and it's going to help all of us to be more balanced humans. And then other people are going to mirror our neurons because they can't help it. Empathetic resonance, mirroring neurons, and it raises the whole bar for humanity. So it's just juicy fabulousness. All righty. So this meditation, I want to do 10 minutes if that's okay with everybody. I'd love to do 20 minutes, but we don't have time. So find a comfortable seat. If you're laying down, you might want to keep one elbow up, so if you fall asleep, your arm will fall down. That's just a trick, unless you really need a nap, in which case, it's been nice to meet you. Let's close our eyes as long as it's cool with you to have your eyes closed. If you prefer a gentle downward gaze, that's absolutely fine. And to make for safety when you're meditating, no matter who's guiding you, if you ever feel uncomfortable in any way, triggered by anything that anybody says, don't stay in the meditation, is my advice to you. I've taken the 2 trauma-sensitive mindfulness courses, and so I'm very sensitive to the fact that trauma is in the room, whether we're all physically present with each other or whether we're on Zoom together. There's trauma in the room. Never mind COVID-19. 90% of human beings have experienced trauma. 8%, it becomes post-traumatic stress trauma. So whenever you're in any meditation situation and somebody's guiding you to do something that's making you feel either hyper or sort of deadened, stop the exercise for yourself and take care of yourself. Bringing your attention to your feet, opening your eyes if they were closed, getting a glass of water, moving your body, leaving the room, whatever you need to do to protect yourself is the most important thing. Okay, that's my big, big disclaimer. And so now we're ready. And this shouldn't be traumatic or scary. Okay. But if it is, take care of yourself. All right. Finding our seat, finding our place, closing our eyes if it's comfortable. We're going to take 3 nourishing breaths, but we're going to breathe in through our nose for 4. Hold it for a count of 4. And then we're going to breathe out for 6. We're going to do that 3 times. Let your breath find its natural rhythm. Relax your eyebrows. Relax your eyes. Imagine your eyelids so comfortable. Release any tension in your jaws. Slightly open your teeth. Imagine a slight smile to the outside corners of your lips, which helps tap us into our parasympathetic nervous system. Dropping that smile down into your throat, your neck. Softening your neck. And dropping down now into your heart, your precious heart. Letting your shoulder blades melt down your back. Releasing your abs. Letting your hips relax. Releasing your thighs and your knees. Your calves and your feet. Softening your hands. You may want to place a hand or hands where you find it soothing, just for a couple breaths, to remind yourself that you've carved this time out for yourself and for each other, this gorgeous self-care, self-compassion, and community. Love, loving, connected presence. You're doing this right now. And then relax your hand or hands down into your lap. And I want you to imagine, either from your sit bones or from the soles of your feet, or both, roots growing down into the earth. So they're growing down from what you're sitting on into the floor of your room, and then down from the floor through the foundation of the building, down into the bedrock, down into the soil. These roots are strong. And at the same time, there's nutrients coming up from the earth into your tree. This is you as a tree. And back down under the ground, you've got this strength going down vertically. And magnificently, there's roots growing out horizontally, connecting to all these other trees. So we are strong and firm, yet incredibly connected. Our roots are going down and sideways, like hands holding hands. And up above the ground, we're firm and solid, yet flexible. Big breezes can come, all sorts of weather, rain, and we can move. Our treetops, our branches can sway. We can be flexible. We can bend, but not break. We are firm in the back and soft in the front. Now imagining your heart in the center of the trunk. And asking your human body, what do you need right now? What word could you take in on your inhale that would nourish you right now? Could it be peace or love or ease, hope, courage, something that your human body, with your firm back and your soft front, could benefit from right now. And breathe that word in on your inhale, letting your exhale just be for right now. You're breathing in a gorgeous gift for yourself. Now for your exhale, you get to bestow this gift of a word. And it could be to specific individuals that you love or that you know are suffering or that you can't be with right now because of quarantines and social distancing. Or it could be to categories of people like nurses, doctors, first responders. So you're breathing in for yourself. And you're breathing out for others. It becomes a guided visualization. Breathing in for yourself. Breathing out for others. I invite you to take this circle of compassion on your exhale to encompass planet Earth. Now, still breathing in for yourself, I'd like you to narrow your exhale to the people in this room today in Yom Lamud, breathing out for each other. Now, staying in the meditation, letting go of the words, and taking in the words of this poem by Mary Oliver called When I Am Among the Trees. When I am among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locust, equally the beech, the oaks, and the pines, they give off such hints of gladness. I would almost say that they save me, and daily. I am so distant from the hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Around me, the trees stir in their leaves and call out, "Stay a while." The light flows from their branches, and they call again. "It's simple," they say. "And you too have come into this world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine." Now you might want to wiggle your toes, wiggle your fingers, And when you hear the sounds of the chime, come gently back into the room. So I'm curious to know how that meditation was and what came up. And what I'm interested in doing is, if anybody is interested in sharing, just having you unmute and speak. And then just try to keep your comments to a minute or two, because I have two more like didactic pieces of material that I want to share with you. But I really do want to hear, and it's nice for other people to hear what came up and how that was. It's always the worst going first, but I hope somebody will do it. So you just need to unmute and then speak.
I liked when you asked us to put our mouths into a bit of a smile, and then the idea of dropping the smile down, because it just felt really good to like smile for myself. And
thank you so much, and thank you for having the courage to go first. I appreciate it, and I love that smile thing. I got that from Tara Brach, who's one of my favorite teachers. When I first started teaching meditation, I used to channel her when I taught. So it always works for me, too. I love it. I love the smile in my heart, not to cover over what's there, what pain or heartbreak is there, but to just love myself because of it, which is really the tenet of mindful self-compassion, which is the curriculum that I'm trained to teach. Anybody else feel so brave? It's okay if you don't, because I'll just keep teaching. Yes, Linda.
I feel very calm and courageous and relaxed.
Beautiful, thank you.
That was my word, was courage.
Courage, thank you.
Really good.
Oh, somebody said, I loved it. I was outside in a swing chair that I've never used. I opened my eyes and saw the trees, felt you were reading to me. I'm smiling and feeling so pleasant despite the noises outside that aren't annoying me as they typically would. Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. Yes, Mona.
What do you got to the point when you said to send it out to somebody else?
Yeah.
It made me very emotional. It brought tears to my eyes.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's okay. I felt like I was doing something that I didn't before, that I didn't feel like I could do anything for them.
Uh-huh. So there's a famous meditation teacher that says that loving kindness meditation should be done with wet eyes. So I find that when I teach loving kindness meditation at San Diego State, I've taught it for the last 5 years in this one same professor's School of Public Health class. A lot of the students cry, and then they get surprised, you know, that they're having a flood of emotion. But really, it's a release of stress, and it's healthy as long as you can come back to the present. You know what I mean? As long as it's okay. It's okay as long as it's okay. I happen to think it's really nice. And there's some science around loving kindness meditation, which is that it makes people more altruistic. So for meditation in general, the science is ironclad that your heart rate and your blood pressure go down. Anxiety and depression lessen and go down. And for depression, if your depression is mild, it's even more effective than antidepressant medicine. That's not for severe depression. Your telomeres actually don't shorten like they normally do when you age. So there's longevity and there's less inflammation. So, I mean, the benefits of meditation are astounding, right? a lot of people think they can't do it. They can't clear their mind. Well, you're not supposed to clear your mind, which is why I recommend guided meditation. It's easy. You just put in your earbuds and you follow the voice. And if my Jewish Cleveland Midwest voice isn't annoying, there's a lot of my meditations on Insight Timer on the app and also on my podcast, and everything's free. So I really highly recommend you do it. But with loving kindness meditation specifically, they found people have become more altruistic. They're more likely to help their fellow man. Well, then why wouldn't you do that meditation? Right? So no matter what meditation I'm teaching, I'm going to morph it into a loving kindness meditation so we get more bang for our buck. Whether it's may we be safe, may we be happy, may we be healthy, may we live with ease, or whether it's bringing in a word for ourselves and a word out for other people, regardless of whether I'm doing a breath meditation, an open awareness meditation, I'm going to have a chunk of it, the lion's share of it, that's going to be loving kindness meditation, because I think if we're going to spend the time doing it, we might as well raise the bar for humanity. Is there any questions before I move on? Yes, Judy.
I wanted to make one comment.
Sure.
It was interesting as you were asking us to choose a word for ourselves. I chose the word peaceful for myself. And the word going out, my brother's going through a difficult time right now. He's by himself and actually in Florida. He's in the midst of a move and a new job. And well, that's good, but he's recently divorced and he's doing it on his own. And he called me a little bit ago, and my urge was to call him and not continue with the session, but I knew I wanted to continue for the session for myself, so I chose him to wish him, I was looking for a word, and it was like courage, and I felt my whole body just feel so much better, feeling like even if I couldn't talk to him or actually be down there to help him move, which I probably ordinarily would have done, that I could reach out to him through my heart and just wish him courage and strength. And then I realized I also wanted to wish that for myself. So I switched the same word of that courage for myself and for him. And it was really just beautiful. I really want to thank you for just, also in this midst of our afternoon of Lee Moon, it's really wonderful to be able to sit with you, so, you know, everyone here. So thank you.
Oh, that makes me feel so good. I just actually took in everything that you said, and I rewired a happy bridge for my brain. So thank you. Okay, there's two more pieces that I don't want to leave out that are, this is like the cliff notes of how to take control of your power and be happier even when the shit is hitting the fan. One of them is writing down a joy list so that when you're dealing with a difficult emotion and you say to yourself, what do I need to hear right now? You can tell yourself what you need to hear. So I'm going to run you through those little steps in a second. But when you get to what do I need to do right now, sometimes you can't think about what you need to do because you feel like crap. So then you look at your joy list that you're about to write and you see, oh, have a cup of tea. Oh, take a bath. Oh, call a friend. Oh, I could do those things. Those things aren't beyond me. So what I'd like to do, I'll be quiet for 2-3 minutes. And you could, when the session's over, when you're done with Yom Lamud for the day, you could spend more time, like 10 minutes, and really free associate all the things in your life that bring you joy. So start now. Make sure you have things on your list that are really easy to do. Like if seeing your grandkids is one of the things, but they live out of town, make sure it's like FaceTiming with my grandkids. Okay, so I think we should stop, but I want you to go back to that later today to flesh it out. And then if you can make copies of it and have it handy, like put one in your bathroom, put one in your bedroom, stick one in your car, so that you have your joy list handy. It'll be helpful for when you need to change the channel. And the next thing I want to talk to you guys about that's so important, like could be the most important thing I say, is keeping a gratitude practice. So a lot of people already do this, so I don't have to say too much about it. I just have to say, if you don't do it, you need to do it. And I don't like journaling, and I actually have a problem when people tell me what to do. Like, I don't want to be told what to do. But the science behind keeping a gratitude journal or a gratitude practice in general is so overwhelmingly compelling. When you guys email me through my website, I can send you this one document that has like 40 of the studies of a gratitude practice all collated. So the gratitude practice improves your health, your relationships, your emotions, your personality, your career. What it basically does is it creates a positive feedback loop. So I make these little gratitude journals and they're blank inside. And because I don't like to journal, I answer two questions. What did I enjoy today? And what am I grateful for today? Because I don't want to write down five things you're grateful for today. I find that annoying. So, and I don't want to, if I'm going to be annoyed, I'm not going to do it. So this technique is the least annoying way I have found to get the benefits. And you don't need to write a lot. What did I enjoy today? What am I grateful for today? It could be, I love to sail and I live in San Diego. I have a sailboat. It could be sailing, you know, my family, a soft pillow, whatever, but you need to do it every day. So a trick that I have is I keep it by my toothbrush because if it's on my nightstand, it gets buried. And then the last thing that I really want to teach that I think super important is how to deal with difficult emotions. Because we have a lot of difficult emotions right now during COVID-19. It's scary and it's uncertain. So in the Mindful Self-Compassion curriculum, they have a thing called the Self-Compassion Break. And then there's also a thing called RAIN. And it's basically the same thing. And I like RAIN a little bit better. So the acronym is R-A-I-N, and there's a lot of this stuff on my website and in my blogs. So the R is recognize that you're having the difficult emotion. So that's name it to tame it. The A is allow it to be there, but not for very long, just so that you can deal with it. The I is to investigate what's up, why it's happening. And the N, which is really the most important, it's the self-compassion piece, is nourish. It used to be not identify, like don't run away with the storyline, but then the mindful self-compassion movement swept in and they changed it to nourish. So how this would work would be you are reading the newspaper or, God forbid, watching the news, and you see something that is really upsetting. Soothing touch, that happens first. Then you name it. Oh my God, that's anger. That's fear. That's disgust. That's loathing. Whatever the really that's going on, that's your reaction. It would be great if you could feel in your body where that's happening, because we're embodied. It's not just intellectual, it's all over your body when you have a reaction like that. You could put your hand where you feel it. So you've named it. Just naming it calms down your amygdala and creates space around it. That allows it to be there. You investigate why it's there. That's a no-brainer right now in America and actually all over the planet. Stuff is freaking scary, right? And then nourish and not identify. What do I need to hear right now? And then what do I need to do right now? What do I need to hear right now? Could be this too shall pass if I want to channel my mom and my mother-in-law. It could be you've got this. It could be whatever unfolds, I will be there to meet it. It could be, where's the thing from the Baal Shem Tov that I love? Since I'm speaking to my Jewish folk. Let me fall if I must. The one I will become will catch me. The Baal Shem Tov. Cha-ching. Okay, that's very cool. Let me fall if I must. The one I will become will catch me. He's like, I've got my own back, right? What do I need to hear right now? And then what do I need to do right now? And what do I need to do right now? You look at your joy list. Do one of those things on your joy list. And then while you're changing your channel by doing one of those things on your joy list, let it land. Enrich it and absorb it so that you're taking in the positive mental state, and then write it down in your gratitude journal. That sews up the entire practice. We have 3 minutes left. So if there's any questions, somebody said, does the time of day matter? What's the best time of day for meditation? It doesn't matter. The science says the sweet spot looks like it's around 12 minutes. It doesn't matter. It could be 5 minutes. It could be a half hour. I recommend Insight Timer. It's free. I think they're the best. How about we all unmute and just love each other? Nancy.
Oh, thank you so much for this. I do meditation with my Reformed congregation, but I've also been doing transcendental meditation for about the last 7 years. And one thing that's interesting about or different about that is that there's a mantra that I was given. But a lot of times I substitute it for something in Judaism. So I'll do Shalem, Shalom, Shlemut, use some of the wonderful phrases that you mentioned. Do you ever use things in Judaism words in your practice?
Well, I taught a class with a Hasidic rabbi. So yeah, I taught a 4-week class with him. It was really interesting. We did a Kabbalah class. So yeah, it depends on the audience. But for me, it's important that it's compassion in and compassion out to get the benefit of raising the bar for humanity, the science benefit. But thank you. Anybody else before they kick us off?
How do we find out about your app?
Oh, so if you go on my website, Mindful Methods for Life, everything is there. There's a library on there. There's my podcast, and then there's everybody's free apps that I think are good, plus Insight Timer apps. There's everybody's free newsletters. Every single one of my teachers that I respect, it's all of their books are on there.
What is your website again?
It's it just got put in the chat. It's mindfulmethodsforlife.com. And I welcome any kind of questions. You guys can email me. You know, I'm available. So I hope this was great. I think they're probably going to cut the room off. I would love it if you could type in one word of how you feel.
Julie, I've read your book and... but this very much brought to life all of the things that you teach.
Thank you. Oh, the name of the book is Life Falls Apart, But You Don't Have To. Mindful Methods for Staying Calm in the Midst of Chaos, and it's on Amazon. And I give all my money to charity. You guys, I'm not like hawking my wares. It's so nice to have met you all.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This was fun.